Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Please be advised that 6 Degrees of Reality TV contains explicit language. Hi, and welcome to 6 Degrees of Reality TV, the podcast where two MFAs try to figure out what the hell is happening on our screens. My name is Amy, and I hold an MFA in creative nonfiction.
And my name is Leslie, and I hold an MFA in creative writing fiction. And together, we are trying to uncover what it means to fall in love on reality TV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to 6 Degrees of Reality TV. My name is Amy, and I'm your co-host.
And I am the ghost of Leslie.
Hi, Amy. Ghost of Leslie.
Leslie, RIP.
Oh, no. What happened?
Okay, so I love The Office, as you know. That's why I'm like obsessed with the fact that you live in Scranton.
I love The Office. It's like my greatest show.
I am holding up, because this is an audio medium, so it makes sense for me to hold up a prop to the camera that you will not see. The Office BFF. It's a book written by Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey. So that was Pam and Angela from The Office. Mm-hmm. And they have this book about their friendship and behind the scenes stuff.
And they have a podcast, right?
And they have a podcast called The Office Ladies, where they break down each episode of The Office. They have guest stars, like people that worked on it, like producers, writers, Steve Carell, or like Mindy Kaling, like DJ Novak, like they stop in, Wayne Wilson. So it's really, really cool. So I have gotten the audiobook, and I'm trying to think, what day was it last week, the day that I died? It must have been like a Wednesday or something. I don't even remember
when
anymore.
I think I died on a Wednesday.
When I died on a Wednesday, I was sitting in my punk rock album. Yes, it was Wednesday. And I was so jazzed because I was walking from my job in Gramercy all the way to the theater district. Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't walked so much, but I'm someone who used to walk from Hell's Kitchen to Washington Heights, or from, you know, Gramercy to the Bronx. Like, I was always walking around. I did not factor in that I did not have legs for the last 2.5 years due to COVID, because essentially I have noodle legs now.
Right.
So I walk up there, they were going to be in town hall, and I have my little Apple watch, and it tells me I walked 2 miles, and I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome, getting back into being a human. And then I'm standing there, and it's kind of early, and I'm just like, oh, I'll just hang out here, it's fine, you know, watch people. I like to watch people watch in New York City, it's fun. And then all of a sudden, I get the sensation that I am on an airplane, you know, when your ears stuff up and then all of a sudden you hear like a buzz.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah.
Things started to blur and everything was in slow motion. And I was like, what is happening?
Oh, my God.
So I had to find a wall, leaned up against it, and then just slither my way down to the ground. That's
Girl, what I did.
What
happened?
I fainted, essentially.
Wow.
So I'm there, and at some point, a really nice woman comes up, so she's like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? And that kind of like brings me a little bit. And I'm like, I think I need water. I need water. And she's like, I'll be right back. And then she's gone for what feels like 20 years, but it was probably like a few minutes.
Yeah.
She brings me a cup of water. And she's like, I'm so sorry. They wouldn't give me a bottle. They only gave me paper cup. And I was like, this is fine. So I start sipping water. She's like, are you okay? Do you need to call an ambulance? I'm like, no. I think I'm going to be fine. Because the last thing I wanted to do was miss this event. Because, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey were going to be there. And I was like, I don't want to miss this event. This is like a dream come true.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking like, well, maybe I should just go home because I don't feel well. Like, it'd be better for me to go home. So I tell the lady, no, I'm fine. You don't need to stay with me. Thank you so much. So the reason why I'm telling this story is so that in the off chance that she hears this, holy shit, thank you. You saved my life. Because she did really come out for me. She didn't have to. I've seen people pass out and kept walking because I'm in New York. I'm an asshole.
Sure.
So that was so kind of her. So thank you. Thank you so much. But the story is, that I go on my phone once everything starts to kind of get back together and everything isn't blurry, and I'm ordering a Lyft. And then I order a Lyft to take me to my Jersey City address from like over a year ago. And I was like, holy shit, no, that's not home. So I had to cancel it.
Oh no.
And then I put my correct address. And then I'm like, okay, so let me talk to like the people at the door. Cause if you attend the event, you get an autographed copy of the book. And I was like, I want to get my book. I'll show them my ticket. And I'm like, just give me the book. I don't feel well. I'm going home.
Sure.
And they were like talking to different people and trying to get this for me. And as I'm waiting for my Lyft, they cancel. So I order another Lyft. They end up canceling. So I go to that app. They cancel again. And I'm just like, what the fuck? So then I'm just standing there. And I'm just like, oh, I guess I should just like wait it out and see how I feel. And then I move over towards the stage door, which I did not realize was a stage door. And all of a sudden, a black SUV shows up and Angela Kinsey pops out. And she's like, hey, guys. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I thought I was hallucinating. I was like, I'm clearly seeing things.
I'm clearly back against the wall, passed out somewhere.
No, but she actually was there. And that kind of sobered me up. The power of celebrity, guys.
That's
cool. I was like, oh, I suddenly felt better. I took some pictures of her and everything. And then a few minutes passed by, Jenna Fisher comes out. And she's like, well, and everything. I end up being in like Jenna's like Instagram story, like taking pictures. So I look completely normal, like nothing, like I hadn't fainted, like nothing was wrong.
Yes.
And then I was like, well, I got to see them. I'm still feeling a little weird. Let me just go home. Again, the Lyft cancels on me. So I'm like, this is God's way of telling me to go into the show.
That Lyft driver did not want to get you. You must have a bad reputation amongst the Lyft drivers.
I don't. I have a perfect rating. I overtip, to be honest.
They're like, we're going to get this girl and she's going to like shit all over our car or something.
Probably. Oh God, that did happen to me once, but that's a whole other story for another day. Anyways, the point is I did make it inside. And I survived, or at least this is my ghost speaking, but it was so fun. Those ladies are so funny. I was crying with them. I was laughing. It was amazing. And I just wanted you guys, it's obviously they're not paying me to do this because they don't know who the fuck I am, but pick up their book. I got the audio book as well as the book because you get all the pictures, but the audio book, they have Rainn Wilson and like different people from the cast, like do little snippets. Creed plays a song.
Is my boyfriend Jim Halpert involved in this?
He's not. But there are pictures of him
in the
book.
He's like my soulmate.
He is. I've always had a crush on Jim because I've always wanted a guy to pine away from me for years and years and for me to be so oblivious and kind of crushed on him too. And then one day we just realize we're meant for each other and it's a fairy tale. Like, that's my dream.
Okay. Well, I love him because he is a great prankster and I'm a huge prankster. I'm a big fan of the practical joke. Love it so much. Humor is like an aphrodisiac for me.
Yeah.
And I just love him so much. I think.
Date a comic and you'll get over that. Anyway, so I wanted to read these quotes from the back of the book because it's like, if you're an Office fan, you'll get who wrote this. So this is the first one. I was there. I witnessed the genius of an enduring friendship. It was a lovely thing to behold. The Office BFFs is a funny, charming, and completely honest account of two newly minted best friends and their unique experiences while working together on a certain NBC comedy. Although I think they should have called their book Soup Snakes, Steve Carell.
I thought maybe that was a review of our podcast for a second there.
Snoop Snakes, yeah. So listen to this one. I think you know exactly who wrote this one. If you like The Office, and even if you don't, but seriously, why? Why don't you? Rude. You'll love this endearing book from my pals, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey. They share how their friendship carried them through the ups and downs of their professional lives, moments of heartache, and moments of joy. The Office BFFs is a celebration of the show, but also a celebration of the power of female friendship. Who wrote that?
That's got to be Mindy Kaling. Is that her name?
Exactly. Yeah. And then the last one I'm going to read to you is, I have learned more about The Office from Jenna and Angela's book than I did from working on the show.
Who would that be?
BJ Kevin Novak.
Okay. Wasn't he one of the writers too?
Yes, he was. Yeah. And a producer and everything.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to share that little tidbit. The book is amazing. The audiobook is awesome. get it. They're not paying me, obviously. I don't work for big office.
Nobody's for paying us.
Or whatever.
Nobody's paying us.
Everyone's paying us. But thank you to the lady who saved my life and all those Lyft drivers for canceling on me, because then I got to see this amazing show.
Yeah. And I have nothing. I've done nothing. So you were out like living your best life, dying all over the streets of New York. And
yeah,
I'm and here, you know, like doing laundry. Part of me
was like, don't go into the show and like cause a scene and like pass out. Don't ruin their event. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so considerate that I was like, don't make this about you. Like, you could die on your way home. Yeah. Don't ruin their event.
I you know what? I just want to say real quick, I watched the George Carlin documentary last night.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. I know Kevin Smith is in it.
Well, I only watched part one. He wasn't.
Okay.
Part
so one. I think he's in part two. Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, I just grew up with George Carlin. Well, I shouldn't say that. Timmy and I were talking about this last night. We didn't really get introduced to George Carlin until the 80s, obviously. So we had missed the crazy, coked up 70s version of George Carlin. But it was just, you know, I didn't realize like what a love story him and his wife had. Like, it was really... Yeah. Crazy. They just went through this really tumultuous time and they found their way back to each other. And excuse me, she was like his biggest fan and like put her life completely on hold for it. It's just a great, it's a great show. If anybody, I'm gonna finish sure it tonight.
Is. Mm-hmm. Is it on HBO?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was Judd Apatow.
Who, as you recall, gave me the gift of the Ava brothers in May It Last, the documentary. So Judd Apatow is my boy.
So yeah, so I know George Carlin through Kevin Smith because I'm a millennial, and so I saw Dogma. Him do that work and mm-hmm. then went back and was like, oh, this is who that guy is, and mm-hmm. thought he was like brilliant, and it was a sight to be seen. So yeah,
my parents loved him when I was growing up, so I was watching him at a very young age.
That's and then so inappropriate.
So the Gen Xers came to know him through Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He was in that with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we kind of knew him in a pop culture sense. But brilliant, yeah. Brilliant man. All right. So let's get started with the not brilliant reunion of this shit show. Guys, I just want to say something up front. I love this show. Like, I know we
do.
We're like, oh, it's so long and blah, blah, blah. You will never hear us, though, saying that we hate the show. We love it.
I love it so much.
I mean, we do this for free. It actually costs us money to do this.
It costs us money to do this.
It's a labor of love. Like, we just really honestly love the show. And I hate when I listen to podcasts of people who cover shows that they hate. Like, you know, they're hate like, watching, hate watching. Yeah. We love this show. I do. Leslie does. I mean, that's why
some of the people in it we hate, because sure. It's like, do you mm-hmm. not realize there's a camera on you, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're going to start. This is the reunion part one, which, why do we need two parts here?
Why do we need two parts? We saw everything. We saw everything in the first part. I was like, there's another part to this.
Well, we didn't see the experts come on and go up against the final boss, Lindsay. So we will see that next week. Okay.
Fair enough.
So Leslie's going to start us off with just some snippets from the couples, correct?
Yeah.
In the beginning?
Yes.
The opening scene? Go ahead.
So I have some quick sound bites. So this is like all the couples are like getting reunited. They're on the stage and Katina thinks that being part of your everyday life is a breath of fresh air. She mentions, you know, O says he has done a lot of self-reflection and growth from this experience, which we will later see. And it's like, who are you, dude? Are you an alien? Like, what just happened?
I don't buy it.
That's another thing. Okay. And then Michael is adamant that people don't really know him, that they're jumping to conclusions or judging him based on 30-second sound bites. And he mm-hmm. appears to be really frustrated by that. So I'm taking it that he didn't take well to a lot of the criticism that I did see on the maths groups about him, even mm-hmm. though I felt like he gave so much more than Jasmina did. I felt like Jasmina got dragged a little more.
I agree.
But Jasmina could give a shit. She was like, she did see herself on TV and thought like, wow, damn girl, you really acted crazy right there. So at least she was aware of her behavior. But she says that the comments from the public don't affect her. She only had to block one person, which is good.
Was it you know? Leslie?
No. I don't even follow them, honestly.
I don't follow
any of them. Because I don't want to get involved in that, because the more I know about these people off the show, the more I dislike them. Because this is my issue with the 90 days people. I know too much about them and I fucking hate them.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I just want to, like, you know, there's some things that happen, I guess, off camera that we do need to address or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I judge them by what we see.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to start with the whole cast. I love how Kevin introduces us this explosive two-part reunion. And here we go.
Dude, me fainting was more explosive than that.
All right, so we do learn that Mark has lost some weight and Kevin asks if it's Lindsay's influence. He looks
really good.
He doesn't answer that question. He just says he lost 40 pounds.
And then he eats sushi now.
Uh-huh, exactly. Okay, so now we're going to start with some footage of the honeymoon in which Alyssa is telling the girls that she and Chris, okay, so this is after the tennis, guys, where she's screaming that she hates him. Mm-hmm. The next day she's meeting with the girls and they're like, how was your activity? And she's like, oh, we played tennis. It was great. What?
Yeah.
So Kevin asks Alyssa why she wasn't honest in that moment. And she says, I didn't feel comfortable. I did not need to see her again.
We did not need to see her ever again. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Chris says she was done by the wedding, so he's not sure like what's going on. And Kev asks Alyssa, is it a false narrative that you wanted to be in the building with the girls? And she said, yes, that's a false narrative. We live too far from the apartments. And if we were going to film, I didn't want to be driving. Yeah, okay. We have it on film. We have you literally saying, I want to be part of this experience. And it's not fair that I'm not going to be able to be.
Yeah, so, experience. Not about the marriage or. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then she says she told the girls that they would hang out constantly and they've stayed true to that. Okay. Who is hanging out with Alyssa? They need to reveal themselves.
I need to see the footage.
Yeah,
I need
reveal to yourselves right now because you're going to, not that this matters at all, but you will be blacklisted by us.
There is no way that Katina has time for that tomfoolery or Jasmina. Mm-mm, and Lizzie clearly hates her. So who is she hanging out with?
I have no idea. I have no idea. So now we get Lindsay's take. And she says that Chris is honest and genuine. Oh, I'm sorry. Chris is honest and genuine and kind. And O weighs in and said, like, Alyssa put in zero effort here. Mm-hmm. So now we take Lindsay to task for her comments about Steve and Noy. So you recall when they went on the couples retreat, Lindsay came for my man. Mm-hmm. And it did not go well in her favor. So we see the clip where she said, oh, a jobless husband and a stay-at-home mother. Ho, ho, ho. Let's see how that works out. Steve, being the emotional maturity, the center of emotional maturity, goes, throughout the experiment, I did my best to keep my energy separate from Lindsay because I could tell pretty early on that we weren't going to mix well together. Mm-hmm. And he's like, in that moment at the retreat, everyone was chill. And I thought, maybe I'll make a joke. So if you recall, he made some lame joke about Oh and Lindsay and Olajuwon, does this mean that Lindsay started the fight? Ha 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 on the plane. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
There had to be more context that we were not getting there. And she came for him as she always does. Then we see Steve apologize. And he tells us now that he apologized a few times. And he just, you know what? He just doesn't like her. She talks trash about everyone. And he says on the airplane, on their way to the honeymoon, he told Noy, you can hang out with Lindsay. That's fine. But don't trust her because bitch be spilling secrets all over the place. Noy did not listen. And she told Lindsay something about their sex life. And Lindsay blabbed to the producer.
Yeah, that was gross.
Yep. And Noy says, our producer told us that you told them this. Now, Lindsay explains it by saying, that's not what happened. We were on a bus. We were talking about it. The producer yelled back, hey guys, don't forget you're mic'd. So, you know, everybody's going to hear this. And Noy looked like she was a kid caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And I thought for a second, I don't often say this, but I think Lindsay's telling the truth here. And I think Noy didn't know how to tell Steve.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's just my take. So Steve says, you know, you just always have excuses. Whatever, Lindsay, like, fuck off. He is too cool for school. He does not need her.
He doesn't need her. No one does.
So now we get, Kevin is going to do sit downs with the individual couples. So he's going to sit down with Katina and O. So go ahead and tell us what happens there.
So they walk in hand, and I was like, uh-oh. I was like, okay, it looks like they're still together, but, you know, things could be deceitful with this show. Sure. So anyway, they sit down, and Kevin Frazier is like, I have to be honest, I thought there's no way in hell this couple's going to work. That's how he starts things off.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, Kevin, let them get situated. They, like, Katina still, her ass was still not on the seat. They're like, yeah, well, you're going to work, my opinion. And I was like, holy shit. So Owen and Katina are flabbergasted, acting like we didn't see them at their worst moment. They were like, what? Us? The perfect couple?
Right.
And he thought,
and let's just address really quick what Katina's wearing, that wig. What are your thoughts?
So it's kind of like a Cleopatra wig. Mm-hmm. It's very like, you the know, severe bang. Short, and it had the bang and everything. Mm-hmm. She has like the red dress, which is, I think it's a poly cotton blend, mm-hmm. because it's not super shiny, so it can't be like satin. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking. I was looking at it. I was like, she looks really cute. Elijah, he's a good looking man. So he looks good in anything, really. So,
but did you like that wig on her? Because I like her natural hair better.
I don't like it. I think it was too blunt of a look for her beautiful mm-hmm. face. Like, I don't know.
She is gorgeous. Like, she could put on a trash bag and show up.
I feel like the bangs. I think that's what it was. It was the bangs that I wasn't into.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious as our resident style expert, what you thought about
style
this.
Style expert board. I wear like $20 like dresses from like a Chinese company. So Owen and Katina are like, oh my God, what are you talking about? And okay.
He's gone.
So O was too over the top, and she says she was trying to live her life. So in his mind, it wasn't going to work out. Mm-hmm. So the first question Kevin asks is, if don't you think that the dance was a bit too much? And we get the flashback of him kind of giving her a lap dance, lifting his shirt up during the wedding reception with the whole family. Yep. And I'm like, Amy is blushing right now.
Yep. She's reaching
for a fan, mm-hmm, and she's going mm-hmm. crazy.
The water bottle.
And according to, he says that wasn't inappropriate because you got to be yourself.
Gotta be yourself. Thing. Mm-hmm.
So Katina, being the old apologist that she is, thought it was fine, even though it was in front of her family. But she tells Kevin that seeing the footage back and watching O crying in his groomsman's arms prior to the wedding, like we saw that he was getting like really emotional, was surprising to her because she wasn't emotional on the wedding day. We saw her, she was like cool as a cucumber. Like the one that was like freaking out was Jasmina. She was like, I don't want to do this, I'm gonna puke. Whereas Katina was like, she was fine. O is crying. When I was like, Mr. Player is crying. He is mourning the death of his single life. That's what I took it as. And then O tells us that he was crying because his parents weren't there at the wedding. His father passed away when he was 16. And apparently his mom is battling some sort of illness. So she couldn't mm-hmm. be there.
Breast cancer, I think.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. But he says, he does say he believes his father chose this woman for him, and reflected on that, he started choking up for choking.
So he reached over and started choking Katina.
They were choking each other. It was like Homer Simpson choking Bart. Like, no. He got choked up. He was really emotional during the clip. And as he was telling that moment, retelling it, he was choked up again. So, and he said that he was also smitten by Katina, which we saw. When he saw, he could not stop smiling and telling her, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous. Like, he was and she was just like, thank you. She was giving the hot girl answer, like, I know, calm down.
I know.
Thank you. Keep it coming. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. My cousin does that. She's fucking gorgeous. I hate her. It was just her birthday. Happy birthday. So then Kevin points out how important cooking and having a home-cooked meal was for O. This was like the thing that we got every fucking week about being a wife, and you're a wife, and your wife level, and your wife mm-hmm. duties, and cooking, mm-hmm. and this, and everything. And we get all these flashbacks about all these times that O is being a caveman. And my favorite part of the clips was Dr. Viviana asking Olajuwon, didn't you eat before being married? Which was awesome shade. Because it was like, I expect this from, it's like, so you didn't eat before this? Like, yep. He's like, no, I will grab something. And I was like, yeah, so you could do that still. So that was like the best part.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, well, that's what I really wanted. That's what I asked for. So of course he could be a dick about it because he requested a wife that would cook and be barefoot and pregnant, essentially.
Sure.
So Katina is asked, what was it like living through it? And the funny part was that he was cooking, the cooking was so bad. It was inedible. So like, was that, like, how did you feel about that? And then she says, okay, it wasn't inedible. What happened was that there was one time I was cooking a chicken in the air fryer and I wasn't paying attention. And then I took it out and then it wasn't cooked all the way through. And I was like, how?
Hey, I feel her. I can't figure out those fucking air fryers. I
have one because I got it like part of work raffle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I've never used it.
I can't figure
collecting
it out.
Dust. I mm-hmm. don't know what to do with it.
No.
I know how to use a George Foreman grill though, by the way. I'm good at that.
Do you ever step on it?
Yes. When I wake up in the morning, I like to smell a sweet vegan bacon. I step on it. The bacon. I like breakfast in bed. Office reference, you guys. But yeah, I just kept yelling like, mofo, you can't cook for yourself. That's what I was yelling at.
Yeah.
But now they're at such a good place because if she doesn't feel like cooking, then he'll be like, fine, we'll order takeout or go to a restaurant. And I'm like, or you can cook.
Or you can cook, dude. You know how to operate a stove.
And then he keeps talking about, well, Katina enjoys going out to the restaurants, so they would do that from time to time. Mm-hmm. And Kevin's like, look at the growth in this man. Kevin was like crushing on him.
He was crushing on him.
Mm-hmm. Olajuwon was saying, he was like shifting in his seat, adjusting his dick. He was like, oh my God, this man is amazing. Wow. Like, that's what it felt like. He just kept adjusting his seat. I was like, are you fixing your boner? Like, what's going on?
Wow, do you think he got all boned up?
Listen. So Katina insisted that she knew he had this growth in him, that she saw that potential, that she needed to be patient, because there were so many times you could play back episodes of this podcast where I'm just like, girl, run. Like, mm-hmm. what are you doing?
We're
this
all doing lost that.
Cause.
Yep.
And she's like, no, I believed in him. And then so O was happy that, you know, his wife did not listen to the social media and all the people telling her, run, girl, run.
The keyboard instead, warriors or something by. He called them. I forget what it was.
Mm-hmm. Stuck by her husband as a good wife would, you know?
Yep.
And I was just like, oh, Lord, here we go. So then Kevin then asked Olajuwon, you have doubted your wife a lot. Is there anything you can do for her to give her validation? And then suspenseful music plays. And I'm like, uh-oh. O clears his throat. Then he says, I'm going to look at you in the face when I say this to you, so you know I mean it.
Which was like, which was something like people have threatened me with.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to look you in the face, so you know that I mean that I'm going to beat your ass, essentially. Like, that's kind of like how my mom would speak to me, but in Spanish.
Like, I feel like my sister has said that to me before and then beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, my mom in Spanish. I've heard that. And then he gets down on one knee, cuts to commercials. And I was like, what the? Okay.
No.
Then after the break, they're sitting back on the couch as if nothing happened. What the fuck? It was like horrible. I'm like, did I miss something? So I'm rewinding back and forth. No, it was just sloppy editing. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, we go back in time and they're still talking on the couch. And I'm like, what is
so weird.
And then he's talking about something and I'm like, I don't really care. I just want to get to the bended knee part. Like, I'm missing something. So then we get the moment again where he gets on one knee, he pulls out a ring and tells her that he hopes that now that she knows her husband, who he truly is or whatever, that she continues this journey with him. And she is crying. The ring looks huge. We didn't get a real close-up of the ring. So I was like, what's going on? There's a fake. Cupid's according. What's going on? Mm-hmm. But it looked big and flashy. But I was like, why didn't we get like a full shot of that? Like, I want to really see it.
Well, clearly he didn't do the infomercial that Steve did to be able to show the diamond.
Exactly. So she breaks down and starts crying. They embrace, and Kevin is just watching at the edge of his seat, you know, jerking off in his mind. And O says something interesting. He says, when everyone on the internet was doubting her husband, like, he goes again with this, you stuck by me. So it's like,
I have something to say about this. Did you find her reaction weird?
And then also, this is the thing that happens. She goes, oh, I love you. But she's looking kind of at Kevin as she says
yeah,
that.
It's
this
weird.
This is the first time I said this to him. He's like, oh, I love you too. I was like, what is happening?
Like, compare her reaction to Noi's reaction.
No, Noi's reaction was like joyous. Genuine. Yeah. Seriously crying and stuff. Where Katina was more like surprised. I think she was caught off guard and didn't know how to react in the moment.
But I don't know,
man. Say, I love you. And she's looking at Kevin while saying that. I was like, what is happening?
She did not shed a tear, which
maybe this was like they had to do a redo. Maybe she did get emotional and they did a redo because it seemed really off.
She had said in the past that she's not an emotional person. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
did see her crying all the fucking time.
I just feel like it was, guys, come at us and let us know in the comments. Like, do you, in the comments of what? I don't know. Maybe on our Facebook page, maybe on Instagram. Do you agree that she reacted strangely? I just felt like it was real cold.
When she looked at Kevin and said, oh, I love you. And then she goes, this is the first time I've ever said it. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah,
that was what got me. That tripped me.
It didn't feel authentic. Yeah. It didn't feel authentic.
I think it was probably like a reshoot for whatever reason. Been. Maybe they couldn't use, because the fact that he's getting down on one knee and then we cut back from commercial and they're back on the couch, I think it was probably like a reset. Like, I don't know. It feels a little weird.
Maybe.
So, is now reformed. He and Isaac are harmoniously one. Katina, you saved this man.
Is that it for them?
Well, at the end of the segment, he was saying that you choose this process, you give it your all, you just go through it, you see it through the end. And I was like, are you giving shade to Alyssa? Because that's kind of how it felt.
Yes.
Like, she didn't give it a chance, whereas he stuck it out and look what happened. And then they do talk about the dating app incident again. We get to hear that. Did they overreact? He finally says that he did.
Yeah.
And he went on about how it's different way. He agrees bringing it up in front of the group was inappropriate. So it's like he's saying all the right things. And Kevin is like fucking foaming at the mouth. Like, oh my God. I'm doing jerking off motions, guys. Very classy of me. Remember, I'm a ghost. It's okay.
Kevin's finest moment was with Chris in Atlanta. Was it Atlanta? Yeah, Chris and Paige. And he's like screaming at him backstage, stop showing your ass, man. Stop showing your ass. That's a whole
lot. I want to watch that. I'll look that up. But yeah, so this is like, he asked them, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And they said they probably will have a child and they both agree. And that's kind of it. So,
I don't think he
sold his house, guys. The ugly ass kitchen that he had in his ugly house. Yeah, he sold the house and now they're living in an apartment.
I don't think they're going to last.
I don't think they're going to make, I don't think they'll have kids. I think that they'll be together maybe until the next cast comes on.
Her reaction to that ring spoke volumes, in my opinion. Okay.
I felt like Jasmina was more excited about it backstage than she was.
Yes.
Jasmina was like actually crying and was like, oh my God.
Now we're going to go on to Alyssa and Chris, everybody's favorite couple.
Oh, the couple of the year.
We think Alyssa is going to apologize because she's like, Kevin, I want to say something up front. And you're like, what? And then instead she begins mounting a defense of her actions by pretty much saying she panicked because she didn't get what she wanted and she was out of her mind. Do her and Olajuwon think like this was a situation where you just put in an order? Like, I'm going to put in the order of what I wanted.
Yeah.
Because if I don't get the right shit, I get a refund.
It's kind of like weird science-y. Like, they just put everything into a computer. And it's like, here's the perfect woman. Here's the perfect man.
And Kelly LeBrock pops out. I don't know.
Exactly.
So she came into this for the right reasons. And Kev's like, are you saying that you wish you gave Mark, listen to me. Are you saying that you wish you gave Chris a chance? And she won't answer that question.
Nope.
She talks around it. And she references again the groomsman conversation. And we see it. And I realized it was really shitty. She knew right then and there they were not compatible. They did not have the same core beliefs. Now, she keeps talking about his core beliefs. And if we recall, she mentioned seeing the famous Instagram photo of him, remember? So she saw an Instagram photo of him where he's wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. And that is what she's talking about with the core values. Yeah. She probably thinks
he's
anti-police or something. Yeah, mm-hmm. Police lives matter. I don't know, whatever.
Who lives? That's not even a thing unless you're a Smurf.
Yeah, whatever. So Chris says, this is really frustrating. Like, I understand you were disappointed, fine. But like how you treat people after that happens, that you can control. And he's like, watching the stuff I didn't see, like the clips of her calling me a fucking used car salesman.
Yeah.
I like all of that nonsense when she thought no one was looking. If I saw that earlier, I would have been done. I would have been mm-hmm. done the minute I knew that was happening. She sits there like an idiot and she tries to say that she wasn't mentally aware of what she was saying.
Yeah. Okay. She on drugs the whole time? But how is she not mentally aware?
They show us clips, guys. She's aware of what she's saying.
She's aware of what she's saying.
So
she hates him. I hate him. I hate the experts. I hate the world. Yeah. Yep,
look at his hand gestures. It's whenever she thought she wasn't being recorded. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin says, if you knew this wasn't what you wanted, why'd you get on plane and go to the honeymoon? And she says, I thought we had to. Chris says, it was on the honeymoon that I started to notice a shift in the language from process to experience. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized what she was here for. And she denies this. And she's like, when you were saying I wasn't here for the right reasons, it kept triggering me. And let me tell you something, her voice was shaking and that was triggering me. Because I'm like, if I have to sit through this woman again crying, I'm going to lose my mind.
And it's fake crying. That's not real crying.
Totally, it's, if anything, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. If it's real crying, it's that she's just so humiliated and feels like such an idiot. And she should.
Probably.
So those tears are warranted. Kevin says, production did ask if you want to speak with the experts and you said no. And she's like, I was upset with the experts. And now we see never before seen footage of her flipping out that the experts are not there. And this may be, mark it down, the only time I've ever agreed with Alyssa, where she's screaming at the producers, where the fuck are the experts? Why are
that's what we were doing.
Where are they? And she tells the producers she doesn't want to talk to the experts because she hates them.
Yeah.
Okay.
She hates everyone.
All right. If you are over 20 years old, no, if you're over 15 mm-hmm. and your response when you're uncomfortable or you're upset with somebody is, I hate you. I don't know how to help you from that moment on. Because that's something 10-year-olds say.
I hate you. I hate this. I hate your stupid face. That's so, kind of how she sounds.
Unless you're me and you're having a breakdown because your kids are acting up and you hate everything in life and you're crying in your car. I hate this. Yeah. I hate this. I hate this. That's different.
That's in the privacy of your car.
You're in your the car mom apartment.
Breakdown. That's yes. warranted.
Yes.
That's mom breakdowns space. Are warranted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she says they lost her trust when they didn't give her what she wanted. Now, you know, my theory is what she wanted is ripped from Yellowstone. Cole calls her to just walk out. And he was busy. He was busy. So now we see them on divorce day when Chris is saying, you know, I want a divorce and she's crying. Kev asked them, like, what have you learned? And Alyssa says she has learned to be mindful of what she says. And Chris says, I'm doing really well. I'm living my best life over here. I'm dating mm-hmm. and now I know what I really want. And I've just learned, you know, what I want, what I don't want. And he kind of looks at her.
Yeah.
So that's it. So then we go into my favorite couple, Stephen and Noy.
Yay.
So Kevin says to Stephen Noy, like, you guys made this look easy. How did this happen? Totally
not
different.
Really.
Totally different. Like, tone shift from his anger towards Alyssa. Kev's like all chill now because his boy mm-hmm. Steve's out here. So they both kind of say some variation of like, we came in this with true intentions, the desire to be married. They talk a little bit about when Noy told Steve that she was falling in love with him and Steve kind of went, oh, thank you. Remember that?
Yeah, that's nice.
He says he was caught off guard and he would have handled it better. But like only a few days later, he told her he loved her during the picnic back in Boston, mm-hmm. if you remember. So they are still together. They're still happy. Noy does not know how she feels about taking Steve's last name because let's not forget, her name will be Noy Moy.
Noy Moy.
Noy kept her apartment and she stays there once in a while. So, okay. So they're not, so they have just an apartment in Boston. That they're not mm-hmm. renting out. that she's staying in one night a week, they're fucking loaded, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Boston is expensive as far as I've heard.
Like, let's just say you get married and you move in with someone else. Would you be able to afford to just keep the apartment you're in right now? Just keep it empty.
No.
Exactly. No. Exactly. And it's not like we're talking about Scranton, Pennsylvania. Like, Boston is expensive.
It is expensive. Yeah. From what I've heard. Yeah.
So they just have an empty apartment sitting there. They're loaded. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they are doing marriage counseling, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. And now we turn to Steve's job, and he says he's still not working, but he's laid everything out for her and she seems fine with it. She seems fine.
He probably showed her like the bank statement, mm-hmm. like, bitch, come down.
Yep. He also says that he got into crypto early on. Of course he did. Of course he's a crypto bro. Okay. So he's loaded. They talk about having a baby within the next year. Then Sriracha comes out, which I was really mm-hmm. happy to see Sriracha.
Did Sriracha and lose weight?
I don't know. Sriracha looks amazing.
The face was so thin and mm-hmm. like...
The makeup is on point. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. So we see a clip where Sriracha is drilling Steve about his job. And one thing I liked about this is Sriracha asked Steve, well, what do you want to do? Like, what will make you happy? Like, she seems to be the only one who was like, don't just do something because Noi tells you to do it. Like, mm-hmm. what do you want to do with your life? So Steve's like, you know, trying to combat this with trying to avoid answering it. Sriracha now tells Kevin she has come around to Steve and Noi together, and she's very happy for Noi. And she says, here's the thing, though. Noi has trouble saying how she feels. And Steve mm-hmm. can come off as condescending, which I could totally see that.
Yeah.
I could totally see that. She says Steve comes off like he's scolding a child. And Sriracha's like, it's not intentional, but it can come off that way sometimes. Steve's like, of course. He's like, I recognize that. I accept it. I hear it. And I will work on it and be better. Of course.
Yeah.
So then we talk a little bit about, it's stupid, but we talk about Sriracha's fame. And she says, look, I'm just like enjoying it, the present. Like, I'm not, yeah. you know, whatever. And then Kevin says, well, I really admire how you look out for your sister. And Sriracha goes, I look out for both of them. That so was I thought nice. That was really nice. Yeah. So yeah. they're in a good place. Let's put a pin on yes. them, in them. They're good. Now let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about Jasmine and Michael, who are not in a good place.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay. All right. Jasmine and Michael.
All right. So Kevin tells us that it's been 5 months since decision day. So this is where the reunion is taking place. And before welcoming Jasmine and Michael, that's what he says. So they then come in and they're sitting really close together. And I'm just yep. like, okay, so yep. this is good. Let's see what happens here. So they talk about their wedding day. Jasmina says she loved their wedding day. And mm-hmm. Michael talks about how nervous he was meeting her. And we see footage and flashbacks on the wedding day. Michael seeing her for the first time. He was like, his breath was taken away. You know, he was yep. just like, wow. He just kept saying, wow. And Jasmina was crying before walking down the aisle. And she kind of got it together really last minute after she was walking, literally, because she was yeah. a mess. She wanted to puke. She wanted to run. It was crazy.
Yes.
And then it was like, but look, they're sitting close together. They're clearly still friends. So I'm like, okay, let's see what's going on. And then we see clips where Jasmina talks about not liking Michael's tone and saying it was aggressive. And what Michael said is 100% what some people perceive Black men to be intimidating by being angry or threatening. So I get why, as a Black man, he felt like that's not the right word to use, especially on TV, because you're just reinforcing that stereotype. So I understood him, his frustration in that moment. And he does speak to that and says, like, look, don't you see that as a Black man, how that would come off? And she's like, well, I'm a Black woman, so I know. And I'm like, Jasmina, I get where you're coming from, but it's not just the two of you. It's also TV. And this is how it's going to be cast. But yeah, but Jasmina just doubles down on the word aggressive. She's like, no, I stand by it. That's how I felt. Your tone was aggressive. So she just kept reiterating that. So I was like, okay, we're not moving anywhere.
It's a hill she has chosen to die on for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we learned that after that incident, they went a month without speaking at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says he was worried that no matter what he said, she was going to perceive it as him being aggressive.
And we saw that. We saw that.
Mm-hmm. They weren't talking. And it wasn't until the blindfold exercise that Dr. Viviana gave them that they had a breakthrough. And then after that, we saw them that they were actually having a good time, laughing and playing together. So that really was helpful for them. So they ended up getting along after that moment, and they ended up enjoying each other. So it wasn't as terrible as it was in the beginning. So we get flashbacks on decision day, and they both decided to stay married. So Kevin asks if they are still together. Then we cut to commercial, because of course they do.
Of course.
Only to reveal without no, because sometimes they always do a little backtrack where they ask the question again. No, they didn't bother.
Nope,
we're not together.
They come back and they're like mid-sentence. Nope, not happening.
Nope, not happening. And I'm like, okay, so for the other couple, you totally confused us and like went back like 5 minutes. With this, you just go, nope, we're not. Yeah. And I was like, duh.
Yeah.
So after 12 days from decision day, this is what we learned. He calls Jasmina. So Michael calls Jasmina and said that things weren't working. He didn't feel he was getting anything from that marriage. And he said he wanted to be married. So that's why he said yes on decision day. But this clearly wasn't a good fit for him. There was no romance.
Right.
And Jasmina claims she was putting in more effort than he was. And she says that she wouldn't say that without receipts. So then she tells us that she would text him every single day to have a conversation. He went over her place one time, and they got into a huge, nasty argument. And basically, she was done with him after that argument. And I'm like, I wish I could see that argument.
I know. Of course we can't.
And Kevin kept telling Michael, you were just a friend. It was never going to happen. So he was like, we all knew this. I've been saying this for weeks. Like, he's been friend zoned so hard. Like, you're never getting out of there. Once a woman is like, my pussy don't get wet for you, you're done, dude.
No.
You're done. So then... Kevin, I wanted to say this, because Kevin then dropped some truth bombs, and he said that when he saw them together, he thought Michael found his wife, but that she's not into him. And I was like, yes, that is exactly what I thought. Like, I knew that from the
beginning. I have a hard time being team Jasmina. Like, I like Jasmina. I have nothing against her, but I'm team Michael here.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I don't know. I shouldn't say that, because I don't know what the aggressive conversation was. Like, right. I don't know what happened there, because it's not like they were being filmed for a TV show or anything. So why would we have that footage of him being aggressive?
Exactly. But apparently she was saying like that she would compliment him. I mean, we did see that. She's like, oh, you look nice today. Look at your muscles. But he was never giving her compliments. And women do live off of water, compliments, and shopping, obviously. That's what we live off.
That's what we put in our empty heads.
Yeah. So she punctuates that segment by saying that he's a great friend. And he goes like, what does that mean? Like, so mean. So Kevin is asking like, so are you dating or anything? And she gives a little smirk and she claims she isn't. She said that she's open to dating, but isn't actually pursuing it. Whereas Michael said he's starting to move on. And, you know, after a lot of prodding, he admits someone has piqued his interest, but it's no one significant. So they've moved on. So they're good friends, but it's not like Jasmina's going to weigh in on his dating life because she is his ex-wife after all.
So. Do you think that Michael's hooking up with Alyssa?
Oh, God, why?
Just kidding.
No.
Oh, I hate her so much. This made me sad. Obviously, I like them. They seem to still have a nice banter with one another.
I think they're good friends because the fact that they were still sitting so close together, it gave me the impression that they were either good friends at a good point in the relationship or maybe together, but I doubted that they were going to stay together. I was like, this is not happening.
There was just nothing there. They were friends and that was it. But I think that she just shut him down real early. And maybe that was justified. Maybe it wasn't. We don't know. We'll never know because, again, they were on TV show and we didn't get the footage. But I mean, whatever happened.
Rolling all day, but we don't see it.
Whatever happened in that initial fight, like turned her off.
And she was like, I'm done.
Okay. Now we've come to the end of civilization.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. I don't know how I even feel about this, so just go ahead. I'm gonna mute myself because I
have to throw up. Okay.
I might scream.
I love that Kevin intros them by saying, let's find out which part of the roller coaster they're on today. So here they come, Mark and Lindsay. So we rewatch their wedding, and Lindsay says she really loved Mark on the honeymoon. She thought he was a strong partner, she trusted him. She felt like he defended her so well. And Mark chimes in and he's like, you know, I agree. We had like a natural chemistry. It was there right from the start, whatever. We get a montage now of Lindsay saying various forms of I'm done. I'm done. I'm over this. I'm out. It's over, whatever. And Kevin's like, was that a mistake? And Lindsay says she had two sides to Mark. Off camera, he was just completely not present and was tied to his phone. On camera, he's mocked the shock, you know? He claims, look, yes, I was on my phone a lot, but like once I found out it bothered you, I kept it at bay and I put it away, whatever. Mark says, I really tried to pick my battles with her. And Kevin says, can you, Lindsay, own up to your part in this here? And she's like, yeah, I mean, I wish I didn't say some of these things. Now, again, we have no footage of the bowling alley. No footage of, we have the footage, but I mean, they're not replaying it for Mark.
Why? The tiny balls.
I want to see tiny balls and I want to see his reaction to it.
Maybe next week they'll show it.
Maybe. I hope to God. All right. So Kevin's like, why did you stay married on decision day, Mark, if this was such a fucking nightmare for you? And Lindsay pipes up and she says, we were a team and he supported me. And Mark said, I had no idea where we would be day to day. Like it was impossible to plan anything because have you seen what I'm working with here? And then in that last week, it seemed good. And I saw a glimpse of what it could be. Guys, pro tip, don't ever marry anyone because you see a glimpse of what it could be. It's just not going to work. Take it from me. Who's been there. I've been there. I've done it.
That whole thing, like, well, I could change him. No, you can't.
I know his potential better than he knows it. No,
Just, you know,
walk away right now. Kevin says, okay, Lindsay, so are you still Mrs. Mock the Shock? And she says, absolutely not. Now here's what we get. What happened? Mark says, we both worked on the house. He has this like multi-generational home he keeps talking about that houses three families, I guess. So would that be a triplex? Yes. So it's probably what I'm thinking, like two floors, one is split in half and then the other one is the whole.
Yeah.
So we worked on our house and then we had a big fight and threats were made. Threats were made, Kev. And it spiraled from there and it was some of the worst arguments I've ever had. Lindsay says she is unbelievable. I'm telling you right now. She's like, I don't know. Mark just decided one day he didn't want me. And he's like, I'm going to change the locks and I'm going to make you pay rent. And I was stunned.
I now feel like we missed a lot of steps before that.
A lot of steps. So we come back to Mark and he's like, when you tell a story, first of all, someone needs to teach Mark how to argue because he should have just been like, you are fucking lying. Let's talk about what led up to that.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that. He says, when you tell a story, you don't tell it correctly. Okay. That's called lying, Mark. Mm-hmm. You went for my throat in every single fight and you got in my face and you were very threatening. And he says, I was picked on a lot as a kid and I would put Lindsay up on top for bullying. Wow.
I was like, holy shish kebab. That is strong.
That is strong. Again, this woman, I don't believe she is evil, but she needs intense fucking therapy.
She doesn't know how to respect other people's boundaries.
Nope.
She's all about like, you can't do this to me, but I could do whatever I want to you. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And she's just, if she feels the slightest bit threatened, she attacks. And her father said that. Like, if your future father, another pro tip, guys. If you're at your wedding and your spouse's father is like, you need to like sleep with a gun under your pillow, run.
Or they're like too excited about you taking them off their hands. Yeah, that's a run.
So Kevin says, Lindsay, you get mad and you burn down the house. Like you're the type of person that'll get pissed off and burn down the house. Is that fair? And Lindsay says, I need a strong man who will stand up for me. Oh, stand up to me. Mm-hmm. Who's like, I need somebody to discipline me. I mean, unless it's like a Friday night and you're drunk.
A BDSM relationship. She's like, me, daddy.
I thought Mark was that. I didn't realize he was only using me to help him refurnish his home. Okay. Now she pulls out a letter. Here's exactly what I've written down.
Oh my God. That letter was like, is she reading it? Is she memorizing what is happening? Because I was like looking down and taking notes. And then I'm like, wait, is she reading? She's looking up at him though. Mm-hmm. Did she memorize this? What is happening?
I just wrote down. Now she pulls out a letter about how much she improved his life and how she gave him the Lindsay effect. Oh my God. She's a maniac. She's a maniac.
I hope you use the Lindsay effect to your best abilities.
It's ridiculous. Blah, blah, blah. So Mark says, just because you helped me, the horrible things don't just get washed away. Like we had fights that were unhealthy and explosive. Now I want to point something out that Mark, again, misses an opportunity to say. Yes, he had bed bugs. Yes, his landlord who was like a mother to him stopped talking to him.
Probably because of her.
He lost his job. Is it a coincidence that all of this happened after Lindsay came into his life?
I don't think so. I think the job thing might have been tied to him being on the show, but they were like, we don't want any part of this.
Maybe.
And then the landlord thing was probably because of Lindsay. They were like, I don't want to deal with this.
Right. I just feel like...
And then the cat killed itself because it was like, I can't deal with this bitch.
Well, the cat probably was super stressed out about moving in with Lindsay's cats.
Yeah,
we talked about this. You don't move a cat, especially an elderly cat, but whatever. I just feel like the two things are not mutually exclusive. Like Mark's life falling completely apart and Lindsay coming into his life.
There are some people that come into your life just to cause chaos so that they can quote unquote help you.
Yes. And I think
they do that. They destroy your life so they could help you and take credit for it.
Yes, 100%. And I think that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So now we hear that Lindsay's moving to Palo Alto and she took a new job. And she says, this is very telling. She says she does better the further from her family she is. Now,
don't know her.
Now, I'm not saying that people don't have toxic families and need to flee them immediately. Mm-hmm. But if that's the case, you don't normally take pride in that and announce it on national television. Yeah. So the fact that she said that was really shitty to her family, who's not there to defend themselves. I don't like that. She also says that she values intellect. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Kevin's like, are you saying Mark's not smart? And she's like, no, Mark's not an intellectual. And I just wrote, apparently all of Boston is stupid, too stupid for Lindsay. Because then she starts talking about how smart she is. I can't with her. The most, Steve is a good example of this. The most intelligent people I've ever met in my life never talk about how smart they are.
Yeah.
The most well-traveled and confident people I've met in my life never talk about that kind of stuff.
They don't brag about it because they did it. They don't need to prove anything to anyone.
Correct. Exactly. So
wait, that's another thing, like circling back to Alyssa, the whole, I'm a good person. You're not a good person. That is why you're constantly saying it.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So Lindsay's like, I'm super smart. I need a man who's smart. I've always dated men who are smarter with me. That's why I find myself with engineers, because I always do better with intellect than creative types. And as a creative type, fuck you. How about that? Because creativity can coexist, you fucking asshole. How about that?
Dare she? Okay. I write fiction. I make up stories, bitch.
Exactly.
How dare you?
We are, as creatives, we are pissed.
We are pissed at you. I'm suing you.
So Mark says he's doing okay. He just passed the firefighter test. He's really happy about that.
Maybe that's why he lost weight for
Maybe. And he's doing well, but doesn't want to date anyone. And Kevin's like, will you ever be friends? And Lindsay's like, nope. And Mark's like, I wish you the fucking best. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have next time on. All right. So next time on, the experts are here. They're back. Alyssa feels attacked and starts crying. I was told I could come out here and not be attacked, and I'm a good person. Okay. Jasmina and Michael fight. Pepper tells Lindsay, when you lash out, you hit fucking bone. Like, it is no joke. Alyssa's a good person, in case you missed that one. And Mark is crying, and the entire cast, including her buddy O, is telling Lindsay to apologize to him.
Yeah, who knows what she says?
She's looking like she won't, and I just wrote, she's a goddamn nightmare, and I need her off my screen and in a therapist's office immediately.
Do you think they show the tiny balls clip at that moment? And they're like, you need to apologize for that.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking happened. So that's it. I mean, any closing thoughts on this? Any surprises?
I'm not surprised that Lindsay and Mark are not together, or that Jasmine and Mike aren't together. It's just, I'm a little surprised that Owen and Katina are still apparently together.
Yeah, I don't see that lasting.
Because he's like over, it's like he watched the show, he took all the advice or all the criticism and was like, I'm going to come prepared for the reunion and say all this shit that people want to hear from me.
Here's what's going to happen. He probably is going to behave himself 90% of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to say something. And all of, you know, all of Katina's girlfriends are in her ear.
Like, yeah.
Dude, this is not good. So she's probably fighting against that. He's going to do something and she's just going to be like, okay, I'm done. Like, she's going to leave. She's going to be the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she could do better.
Yeah,
I think
do better.
Again, I say this all the time. I think Olajuwon is teachable. I think he's a good human. I just think that he doesn't.
He's not reformed now. Mm-mm. Not right now. He still needs a lot of work.
Yeah. He doesn't respect women. He needs to be in therapy and talking about why he was sleeping with every woman he knew and then throwing them in the trash. Like, there, that's a problem.
Yeah, that says more about himself.
Yes.
Just insecurity and all of that. And
yeah.
I think he validated his self-worth by the amount of women he was bedding, basically.
Yeah. He has a real problem with women. There's something is there. You know what
I mean? Like, they're playthings to him, or at least they were when he was Isaac.
Yeah.
For his entertainment.
I do think that he could be a good man. I think he could have a good life, but he needs to work on that first. And that's fixable.
I don't think that he's reformed now. I think that he could be, but not now. This is all him just spitting out the verbiage that, you know, people were just throwing at him that he should behave like, and he's just like, yeah, this is me now. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why she was kind of like not too convinced. I don't know.
Yeah, something
weird. There's some weird editing thing going on in that segment.
All right, so we'll be back next week with part two of this dumpster fire. Can't wait to see. I think we see a little bit of Lindsay and the experts going at it, and I hope they really fucking put her in her place.
I hope so too.
I think Pepper will. You know, Viviana will kind of be like, whoa, but Pepper will be like, listen here. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you tell everyone where they can find you aside from being passed out somewhere in Manhattan?
Aside from finding me on a sidewalk passed out in, you know, the theater district, you can find me at Sinister Girls. We have Rhythm Tribe is the band, the new episode that came out yesterday, and It's amazing. They perform live. We have a whole bunch of other bands coming on that I can't say. I don't want to say it until it's recorded because I've had issues where we've been like, we had the time set and everything. And then last minute, they're like, oh, let's change of plans. So Once it's in the can, then I can announce it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have exciting people coming on. So yeah, follow me at Sinister Girls. I post pictures of like different shows that I go to. Of me stalking celebrities, you know, the usual fun
stuff. I'm gonna like post pictures of me like making my kids' beds, weeding the garden, starching some shirts. Not that I would ever know how to starch a shirt. I'm lying about that completely. All right. And I'm at Gen X. This is Why. And we're doing Little House on the Prairie, but this week we're doing Shawshank Redemption, which I just watched before I got on here with you.
Oh, wow.
Ugh, love it so much. So I'm at Gen X. This is Why. You can also follow us on our writer accounts if you want. I'm at Amy Archer Writer, and you're at author
Leslie DJ. Yeah,
all of that is in the show notes. And of course, Follow 6 Degrees of Reality TV. Please share our podcast, leave us a review, do something, help us, you know, kind of
we're almost at 14 spread the word. You guys, come on, please. 13 is so unlucky. Get us at 14.
Who's our 14th listener? Who will it be? I did get a nice email from one of our listeners who's on a boat somewhere in the Chesapeake Bay reading my book. So I thought that was really great.
Oh, that's so nice.
He had a bookmark that just said Mark's Tiny Balls. So I was really, two worlds colliding there.
Oh, that's beautiful to me. I love that. Oh, and shout out to Jonah Fisher and Angela Kinsey. I love them and I love The Office. Yay!
All right, guys. So thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Bye.